working. If you'll find the book of Genesis, we're going to start off with a little bit of review, and then we'll begin to move into newer material. Let me remind you that the assumption I begin with, this isn't fair for some of you who are visiting for the first time in a while, but my assumption is you have read the rest of the book of Genesis and that you are prepared to talk about things that might be a little further distant from where we are. Okay, number one, how old was Joseph when he was sold into slavery by his brothers? 17. Bravo. How old was he when Pharaoh put him in charge of all of Egypt? 30. Okay, and in that period of time between, or perhaps even more of that time, that was chapter 38 that talks about Judah, and the things that happened in that chapter must have taken minimum 13, 14 years and probably more like 20. When he rose to power in Egypt, it was because of a dream that Pharaoh had had, and that dream predicted or foretold how many years? 14. Got to keep working on this. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Okay? When his brothers come back to Egypt and meet him, which is where we're heading into, how much time had gone by? All the years of plenty and 2 years of the famine. Okay? So he's now 39 or maybe 40, because we don't know how soon the year of plenty was going to start. That could have been predicting, okay, next year will be the first year, but that doesn't start today. Okay, so far, so we're talking about a fairly long period. All right, when he was sold into slavery, what were the circumstances? His brothers were out with the sheep. He had been sent by his father to go see about them, see that everything was okay. And what happened? And I want to work on this a little bit more than we did before. They saw him in a distance. We don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. But what likely did they say to each other? Oh, here he comes. Okay? How long did it take them before they started to make decisions about what they're going to do about it? Not much time. What did they do? What was their first intention? Kill him. Reuben said, don't kill him. And instead, what they decided to do? Sell him as a slave. And in the meantime, where did they put him? They threw him in a pit. Okay? How long was he in the pit? Starts with W. We don't know. Having gotten that out of the way, we don't know. Let's now dig in a little bit. How long do you think it was? 20 minutes? Couple of days. Probably not that day. He was probably in that pit for a couple of days. Okay? Number two, what do you think his brothers said to him when he first came? The scripture records that they said to each other, here comes that dreamer. What do you think they said to him? Okay. What had his interaction with his brothers been? Now, this is review, so we're not going back to look, but I'm back in roughly chapter 37, verse 2. Verse 3. Some of you can't stand it. You want to look. What did he do?
He interpreted his dreams.
Yeah, before the dreams.
He had the coat of many colors. He was his father.
Before that, or in that time period. What did he do about his brothers or with his brothers? You have a tendency to forget this, and today you're not allowed to forget this. What did he do? He took reports back to his father, and those reports weren't good. He was telling Dad the bad things he was telling. Now, we explored this, right? Was this tattletaling?
No.
We worked through this. We don't think it was tattletaling, right? We don't know, but we don't think it was tattletaling. What was it? It was a report of the person Jacob had chosen to be the heir to the person who was at that time in possession of everything, which was the daddy. More like an overseer reporting to them. And the coat was almost a part of that. Right? So what do you think the brothers said to him when he showed up?
We're going to keep you from telling daddy.
You're here to spy on us. How long was he in the pit? A couple of days. What was the first thing they would have said to him? No, just repeat what you just said. This is a very powerful teaching technique. Stick with me. How long did they keep him in the pit? A couple of days. What do you think was the first thing they said to him? You're here to spy on us. Hold that thought. And we're ready to start. Back in chapter 41, we left off with Pharaoh elevating Joseph to power. This is in chapter 41, verse 43, the tail end of that verse. In this way, he became the governor of the whole of Egypt. Two things Pharaoh did immediately. Gave him a new name. Gave him an Egyptian name. What did that name mean? God says he lives. He is living. When God spoke to Moses and Moses says, I don't even know your name. What did God say his name was? I am. Very interesting name that Pharaoh gave him. Very interesting name. He also gave him a wife. Who was Joseph's master when he first came into Egypt? Who bought him? Potiphar. Who's his wife? The daughter of? Not Pharaoh. Are you looking? Potiphar. Who was his master? Potiphar. He's marrying the daughter of Potiphar. The commentators say, don't worry about that. Doesn't mean a thing. You buy that? Me neither. They're telling you something. I don't know what they're telling you. This guy was the priest of which Egyptian god? Was it Ra? Was it Thoth? Was it Horus? Which one? The god On. Some people have gotten so perplexed by that in their commentaries they say, oh, he's just talking about a city. He's giving you the nickname of Heliopolis. On is the nickname of Heliopolis. If they meant Heliopolis, wouldn't they have just said Heliopolis? Commentators say they don't know what this is. Or they say, you know, we think this is this shadowy god that the Egyptians had, who was the creator God who created everything, including all the gods we worship. Isn't that interesting? I don't know what to do with that. I just point that out to you. But I want to point out something else. Joseph knew the problems that came when you intermarried outside of the faith in God. He would have known that thoroughly. And yet this marriage is allowed to go forward. And the children of that marriage are honored both by Jacob and by God. Something is here that's very interesting. Right? Potiphar, remember, early on, Potiphar recognized that God was with Joseph. The jailer recognized that God was with Joseph. Remember that? They didn't recognize that Ra was with him, or Horus was with him, or Thoth was with him. They recognized that the Lord God, God Almighty. Something about God was known, and the Bible is hinting at that. I don't know what to make of it, except to just point it out as we go by. Enough of that. That's all you get. Verse 46 to 49, that's where it tells you that he was 30 when he went into this service. Here goes the 7 years of plenty. Joseph gathered in the grain like the sand of the sea in such quantity that he gave up keeping count since it was past accounting. That was verse 49. Verse 50, he has two sons. Names his wife again. Names that she was the daughter of Potiphar, making sure you hear that. Firstborn was named? Manasseh. And Manasseh means? Forgetting. I have been able to forget all the hardships. And notice what follows. God has made me completely forget my hardships and what? Tail end of verse 51. Didn't do this in the first hour, should have. And my father's house. Isn't it odd that he has come to power? He now has the power to contact his father again, and he hasn't done it. Manasseh, I've been able to forget my hardships, and I've been able to forget my father's house. He has a second son, Ephraim. What's Ephraim's name?
System of prosperity.
Fruitful. God has made me fruitful. And some amplify that a bit, fruitful, in the country of my misfortune, mine says. Then the 7 years of plenty came to the end, and the 7 years of famine set in, and here it goes. There was famine in every country, but throughout Egypt there was food. There was famine in every country. What does that mean? Here's Egypt, and you go out from Egypt, there's famine all the way out. If you start going all the way out, what's included? You got to work with me here, guys. Canaan. There's famine in Canaan. Food in Egypt, famine in Canaan. Okay? And when the people started to get hungry, Pharaoh told the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you. He opened the granary, rationed out the grain. The famine grew even worse. People came to Egypt, verse 57 says, from all over the world to get supplies from... Does yours say Joseph or does it say Egypt?
Joseph.
Mine says Joseph. Right? Where was the grain stored? You remember the previous stuff? You're supposed to remember the previous stuff. You're supposed to already know the stuff we're coming. Where was the grain stored? All the various cities. Okay? All the various cities. Where did the foreigners go? Whatever the city they want to, right? I don't think so. I think the Egyptians would have gone to whatever city was nearby. Wherever the grain was raised, that's where the grain would be stored. The Egyptians who lived there would get their grain there. But the foreigners, I think, I don't know this, it's not in Scripture, but I think the foreigners would have come to one central place and Joseph would have administered that. And what would there have been? There would have been interpreters there. So the people who are working could understand the people. And what would they be doing with the grain? Giving it, right? This is foreign aid, right? You just give the stuff away. They're selling it, and Egypt is getting rich. And Egypt is getting powerful. And it's all because of Joseph's foresight and God's generosity in helping him interpret that dream. Verse 1 of chapter 42. I told the first hour we might well spend the rest of the time on this one verse. I don't think we will. I think we'll get a little bit further. But there is a lot in this one verse. Number one, my translation says Jacob, and then there's a verb. What's the verb in your translation?
Learned.
Learned. Any other verbs?
Saw.
Heard.
Found out.
Is there a difference between learned and saw?
Very much.
What's the difference?
There you are.
Saw means first hand. Learned means
second
hand. Saw means first hand. Heard means second hand. Found out about means second hand. I heard it on the grapevine. Not too much longer would you be my... You remember that song? I heard it on the grapevine. Not much longer would... I heard it. First hand. Somebody else said it. I heard that it was said. I got to help you here just a little bit. Give me a minute. Okay.
8:06. This is 3925, and this is 7200.
Okay. Anybody know what those words, what those numbers are? They are called strong numbers.
And they have nothing to do with strength. They have to do with
Strong's concordance. A guy named Strong listed every word that he saw in the as much of the originals as we had, and gave a translation for each of those words. And he numbered all the words. Strong number 8085 means learned, means heard. Strong number 3925 means learned. Right? And 7200 means saw. The word at that point is 7200. The word is not heard. The word is not learned. The word is saw. Why would a translator say learned or heard and not say the word that was there?
Because he didn't actually travel to Egypt.
Because he didn't travel to Egypt. How could Jacob have seen something that was that many hundreds of miles away? God would have given him a vision. That's your clue. God's given him a vision. If God gives him a vision, what's he likely to do? He's likely to start talking about it. Who's he going to talk to? His sons. Look at verse 1. Ready? Do not go to verse 2. Verse 1. Jacob, seeing that there were supplies to be had in Egypt, said to his sons, now wouldn't you think that what follows would be, there's supplies in Egypt, or there's food in Egypt. Wouldn't you think that's what he would say? Do you notice he does not say that? Jacob, seeing that there were supplies, food in Egypt, said to his sons, why are you guys just staring at each other? What's that? That is conscience rising in the 10 brothers for the first time. That is conscience rising in the brothers for the first time. Daddy says Egypt, and the brothers think Joseph. A chill goes down their spines. The hair on the back of their necks goes up. And they look at each other. And they think, unless we go to Egypt, we're all going to starve to death. And we sent Joseph to Egypt, and we have no idea what happened to him. Do you understand the power of verse 1? Verse 2, you almost hear exasperation in Jacob's voice if you've heard verse 1 possible. I said, I heard there's food in Egypt. Get up and get going. Everybody with me? Yeah? Go down. Procure some for us. I doubt yours says procure. Mine's a little higher level than yours. Get some for us there, so that we may survive and not die. And so, 10 of Joseph's brothers, the scripture writer is reminding you, these are Joseph's brothers. They went down to procure grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers. He thought to himself, quote, nothing must happen to him. Just in case. Who was Benjamin? The second son of the favored wife. Who was the number one wife? Leah. Rachel should have been the number one wife, but that old father-in-law played a trick on him. So now there's four boys from the number one wife who are at the head of the line. And Joseph's way back somewhere. And Benjamin's back. And Joseph's gone. Verse 5, thus it was, the sons of Israel were among the other people who came to get supplies, there being famine in Canaan. They come into Egypt, they are not one solitary group, they are part of a huge crowd. What do? They get in line, and they get in line and make their way to the front of the line. When it's their turn, they begin to say, we want some grain, here's some money to pay for it. All right? And Joseph was there. I think there were granaries all over Egypt, but I think there was one central place where all the foreigners came. I can't prove that, but I think that's what happened. I don't think Joseph was running the place, but I think Joseph was watching the place. And I don't know if he was watching the place because he was wondering if his brothers would come, or whether there was just some sense that God said, maybe this is a day you need to be there instead of over here or over here, because he was all over the place. But somehow, there he was. His brothers come in. Can I start paraphrasing and still have you follow with me? Are you reading with me? He recognized them. They did not recognize him. First hour, somebody said, well, why wouldn't they have recognized him? I'm sorry, we need to work on that, don't we? Why would they have not recognized Joseph? How old was Joseph the last time they saw him? 17. And what did he look like then? He looked like a battered shepherd boy, because he had been thrown in that pit. And there would have been tears streaming down his face as he pleaded with his brothers, don't do this to me. And now they're standing in front of the most powerful person in Egypt, other than Pharaoh himself, and they bloody well know it. And what? He looked like an Egyptian and he walks like an Egyptian. Right? Yes, Dolores.
Well, in the movies that I've seen.
Let's see how Cecil B. got it.
He had an Egyptian makeup. And
the murals show elaborate makeup being used. Yeah. They show shaved heads.
Yeah. So
he would have been at least how old now?
Well,
He would have been at least 39. 30 when he started, 7 years of plenty, and they say you're 2 years into the famine by the time this thing, by the time they came. At least 39, maybe 40, maybe into his 40s. I sort of think probably into his 40s, but just barely, because I think a little bit of time went by before the clock started. Okay. Did he look? And even if he had vaguely looked like Joseph, how could it be Joseph? Joseph was sold as a slave. Okay. Verse 23 tells you something else. And we might as well go on and look at that. It's either 22 or 23. Joseph did not... the Bible seems to be saying Joseph was speaking to them, but verse 23 says how. Is that right? Is it verse 23? I thought it was verse 23. They did not know that Joseph understood what they were saying because there had always been an interpreter between them. Yeah.
Do you feel that, you know, when the brothers go there and, you know, here they are, as low as they've ever been in life, trying to get food, buy food from somebody, and there's a huge person of power there, the chances of them making eye contact or really addressing directly Joseph is probably...
Chuck, yes, yes, yes. Let's look, because we need to do exactly that thing. What's the first thing they do when they get into his presence? Tail end of verse 6.
Bound themselves. Their faces to the ground.
Their faces to the ground. Which way are their eyes facing when their faces are to the ground? They're facing the ground. Okay? Chances are the most they ever see of him is his feet. Yes, thank you. I meant to say that already.
Okay,
in fact, this is not the only time they bow to the ground. Within a few verses, they're bowing again. The picture you have is that he recognized them immediately.
No, Jacob. When he said, boys, what are you doing? Go down to this food.
Go back to Manasseh. What was Manasseh's name?
Forget.
And what did he forget? I forget all of my misfortunes,
Joseph,
hardships. Joseph says, and I forgot my father's house.
But I'm saying, is it Jacob?
Jacob is completely ignorant.
He's ignorant.
Are you sure?
As far as Jacob is concerned, Joseph is dead.
Well, I think they're referring to the vision.
The vision.
The vision, I think, only said food.
Okay, that's what I was curious about.
I don't think the vision said anything else. I don't know. Remember, there's lots of stuff we don't know.
He's afraid to send his other son because he too might die.
Yeah, when you get to the language later, when you get to the language later, which I hope we'll have time for, maybe we will.
Okay.
Okay.
So Joseph recognized them immediately. They're looking down the ground.
And they don't recognize him.
Right. And Jacob's not with them at this point.
Oh, no. Right. Absolutely not. Jacob has sent 10 sons. Yes.
Why would they be looking down at the ground? I mean, it's not like they know it's him. It's in their shape.
You make... You guys tell me, what happens if you make eye contact with an animal?
You lose your head.
What happens if you make eye contact with somebody more powerful in this day? You have committed a breach that probably is punishable by death.
Well, it's a sign of aggression.
Yeah. There is a wonderful picture Barbara took of me. It was in Jerusalem. And it was going into a building.
It was in Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem.
Going into that church.
The building was built to force everyone who comes in to bow.
Yes.
The only way to go through the doorway is to go through like that. Okay. You do not. Okay. Remember when Joseph was talking to the cupbearer and the baker? The Pharaoh will lift up your head.
Yeah.
Right. The piece of there is Pharaoh will allow you to return to a place of more intimate contact than the ordinary person has.
I mean, it's hard for me to make eye contact just pulling into the parking lot here.
I won't go there. Okay. Verse 8, Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. And Joseph remembered the dreams he had had about them. And he said to them, verse 9, you're spies. Is anybody hearing an echo yet?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Now, look at what follows. No, my lord, they said. Your servants have come to get food. We're all sons of the same man. We're honest men. Your servants are not spies. Who said that? Look at what Scripture says. Who said that? Mine says, they said. You got 10 guys out there. Which one speaks? Starts with A. They all do. this one says this, this one says this, and the scripture writer is pulling this out for you. Oh no, verse 12. Joseph replied, you have come to discover the country's weak points. Your servants were 12 brothers, they said, sons of the same man in Canaan, but the youngest is at present with our father, and the other one is no more. To which Joseph retorted, it is as I said, you are spies. This is the test you're to undergo. As sure as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get him. The rest of you will remain under arrest so that your statements can be tested to see whether or not you are honest. How do they test for honesty in these days? That was a grim sentence. Did you pick up how grim that sentence was? How long will it take the one to go back up to Cana, get the younger brother and come back? Long enough for lots of torture. Lots of time gone.
He wants him to go back and get Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. If not, then as sure as Pharaoh lives, you are spies. And he put them in custody for?
3 days.
How long was Joseph in the pit? I think 3 days. I think the brother said to him, you're a spy. You've come to spy us out. And they threw him in the pit. I think it took 3 days. And I think he is reliving that. You read the commentators. Half the commentators say, no, it's just coincidence. The other half says, yeah, it might be. I think it is. Why are you just looking at one another when Egypt is mentioned? And here they are in front of the most powerful person in Egypt other than Pharaoh. And what is he doing? He's speaking to them harshly. You're spies. And he throws them in jail for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph says to them, do this and you will live. This is verse 18. For I am a man who fears. Does he say Ra? Does he say Thoth? Does he say Horus? He says God. Same as Potiphar had seen in Joseph. Here's the second most powerful person in all of Egypt speaking the language of God to the children of Israel. If you're honest men, let one of your brothers be detained where you're imprisoned. The rest of you go and take supplies home to your starving families, but you must bring your younger brother back to me. In this way, what you have said will be verified and you will not have to die. And that's what they did. And they said to one another, clearly, we are being punished for what we did to our brother. We saw his deep misery when he pleaded with us, but we would not listen, and now this misery has come home to us. Reuben said, didn't I tell you not to wrong that boy, but you would not listen, and the day of reckoning has come. My translation says, and now comes the accounting. They did not know that Joseph understood, because there was an interpreter between them. And what did Joseph do? Turned away and wept. Why doesn't he reveal himself? Commentators are divided on this. I agree with the group that says God told him not to. I think his instinct would have been to reveal himself. But God says not yet. When he was able to speak to them again, he chose Simeon out of that number. Who's Simeon? Number one son of the number one wife. This is the firstborn. This is the birthright guy. He's the one who's going to be kept hostage. He's the one who's going to be tested to see if your statements are honest while everybody else goes home. We got to move. Verse 24, he chose Simeon out of their number and had him bound while they looked on. I don't know if this is chains or ropes or what it was, but they would have understood this isn't going to be a happy time for Simeon.
And that's what they did to him when they sold him to the merchants traveling to Egypt.
Chances are, if he did it or had it done, some of the knots would have looked the same, I think. Joseph gave orders to fill their panniers. Yours may say sacks there. Mine is, again, higher class than yours. Panniers with grain. To put back each man's money in his sack and to give them provisions for the journey. This was done for them. Now, let's move quickly. They get a day's journey away. One of them opens a sack to give some food to the donkeys, and when he opens the sack, he finds the money. And terror fills them. We paid that money for the grain. What's it doing here? Have you ever been happy to find money that you thought you had paid still in your pocket? A few people are. I've had some clerks faint when I say, I don't think you took enough. You want to chat? You want to count that one more time? And they say, who are you? Because that's odd behavior. But they had terror. Would you please tell me, when did they discover the money was in all the sacks? Don't look. What do you think? When would it have been? Right then.
They would have opened it all up.
Nope. All the way back to Canaan, in front of Jacob, they opened the rest of the sacks and discovered all the money. The money was out from all of them was there. Why did they wait till they got back to Canaan? Why didn't they do it right then? Nice try, Paul. Nope. I don't. Well, again, I don't know, but I don't think so. What would have been a really, really clever thing for a foreigner to do? Come up to the front of the line, buy a whole bunch of grain, go back out 3 miles and start to sell it. Feed the black market. And undercut all that Joseph was trying to do. So what would they have probably done to the foreigner's grain? They would have sealed the sacks. They would have sent a list to the border. These people bought these sacks. If they don't, if you come through the border and your name is not on the list, you die. If you come through and the seals are broken on your sack, you die. They got lucky. They had opened one bag and nobody seemed to have noticed that. Why? Because the other nine were still sealed. I don't know this, but I think this is what happened. Let's go back and read that verse again. See if it comes open to you. Joseph gave the order to fill their sacks with grain, to put each man's money in his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. This was done for them. Do you hear that little clue in there? This was done for them. I think the sacks were sealed because you could get a big black market going by having somebody come up, get grain, then come back out into the cities and sell it. Returning to their father, this is 42 verse 29, they gave him a full report of what had happened. The man who is lord of the country spoke harshly to us. The man who is lord of the country spoke harshly to us, accusing us of spying on the country. We told him, we are honest men, we are not spies, we are 12 brothers, sons of the same father. One of us is no more, and the youngest is at present with our father in Canaan. But the man who is lord of the country said to us, this is how I'll know if you're honest. Bring that youngest brother to me. And right then, verse 35, as they emptied their sacks, each of them discovered his bag of money in his sack. And on seeing the bags of money, they were afraid, and so was their father. You bet they were. Then their father said to them, you are robbing me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin. Why did he say Simeon is no more? You don't survive what they're going to throw at that boy. How old was Simeon by now? This boy I just mentioned. Probably 60, 55, 60, maybe 65. Young man. Very young man. Reuben said to his father, you may put my two sons to death if I don't bring him back to you. Put him in my care and I'll bring him back to you. Wow, isn't that a great offer? You lose a son, why don't you kill a couple of your grandsons as well? That sounds good. That sounds useful. Jacob dismissed that one out of hand. I don't think that's very good. Jacob says no. They were supposed to turn right around with Benjamin and head back. They did not do that. Do you notice it?
Yeah.
They wait. Chapter 43, verse 1. Mine says, but. Yours may say now. Mine says, but. The famine in the country grew worse. The famine where? In Canaan. And when they had finished eating the supplies which they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, go back and get us a little more.
They'd written off for seven.
Who replies now? Judah. And what does he say? Don't even think about it unless you're ready to send Benjamin. And by the end of this, I'm not going to take time to go through all of this. By the end of this, Judah says, this is verse 9, I will go surety for him. You can hold me responsible for him. This is rare in Scripture. This is rare in our lives as people on earth. Somebody says, I will take responsibility for this. If I don't bring him back and produce him before you, let me bear the blame all my life. And indeed, if we hadn't wasted so much time, we'd have been down there and back twice by now. Now, in between, something really interesting. Israel said, verse 6, why did you bring this misery on me by telling the guy you had another brother? Why didn't you just keep that to yourself? And you all of a sudden get a clue as to what was happening way back in that earlier conversation. Here's what they, mine says they replied. Does yours say that? There's the whole 10 of them. He kept questioning about us, about ourselves and about our family. He asked, is your father still alive? He asked, do you have another brother? That's why we told him. How could we know he was going to say, bring the younger brother down? Verse 11. Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the country's best products in your baggage and take them to the man as a gift. And he has a list, and the list sounds really interesting. Medicinal materials as well as exotic nuts and fruit and things of that sort.
And why would those things be in existence if there was a famine?
Makes me wonder. Take double the amount of money with you for the next order of grain and return the money put back into the mouths of your sack. Maybe we'll be lucky. Maybe it was a mistake. Take your brother and go, and may the Lord God Almighty move the man to be kind to you and allow you to bring your other brother and Benjamin back. That's Simeon he's mentioning. As for me, if I must grieve I will. The men took their gift, verse 15, double the amount of money, and Benjamin, and off they went. When Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to his chamberlain, yours may use another word for a special servant, take these men into my house, slaughter a beast, and prepare it. These men are to eat with me at midday. The men did as Joseph had ordered and took the men to Joseph's house. The men, as they went, said to the chamberlain, listen, the last time we were down here, we paid for the grain. When we got back home, we found all the money we'd paid back in our sacks. We don't know what happened. And the chamberlain says something remarkable. What does he say? This is verse 23. Set your minds at ease. He replied, do not be afraid. Your God, not Ra, not Horus, not Thoth, your God and the God of your father put treasure in your sacks for you. I did receive your money. The accounts are okay. And he brought Simeon out to them at that moment. The next several verses up till the end of that chapter talks about the banquet. The Egyptians had a horror, it says, of eating with the Hebrews. So they sat separately. But Joseph had food from his table taken to them. He had them seated, and my translation says in order of seniority, and I think that may be better than saying in order of age. The actual wording is he had them seated in order, the Simeon by his birthright seated first, and Benjamin according to his youth seated last. And they were amazed that he knew how to do that. Maybe it was by age. I think it was by sort of inheritance order. Firstborn first. But he did put the younger one last. Okay? Chapter 44, we have almost run out of time, so I've got to do this very quickly. This is what happened in the first hour as well. He does it to him again. He gives orders to his chamberlain, put all the money back in their sacks, and put my silver cup in the sack of the youngest one, and send them out. I think the sacks were again sealed, because if they weren't, what would have been the first thing they did? They had to check the sacks, and I think they couldn't because they were sealed. They don't get more than 30 minutes or an hour away when the chamberlain and a group of soldiers come up and say, one of you stole my master's silver cup. And the men reply, that's impossible. You sealed the sacks. And how could we replace such hospitality by doing such a dastardly thing? If you find that silver cup anywhere in here, let the person who, in whose sack it's found be executed, and let the rest of us become the slaves of your master. And they opened the sacks, and where was the cup?
Benjamin's.
They tore their clothes. They rushed back to Joseph's house. And Joseph said, don't worry. I'm just going to kill the little one. All of you are free to go. And Judah pleads for the life of Benjamin. And Joseph breaks down and reveals himself. Two times in the book of Genesis, he talks about how to interpret what has happened. The better way is later. The earliest one, he says, God sent me ahead of you to prepare things so that our family, in the words of today, so that our community could survive. Later he will say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The aim today was to try to get through chapter 46, verse 7. We're close. By the time all of this is over, Joseph has sent riches up into Canaan so that Joseph will believe, so that Jacob will believe that Joseph is still alive. And Jacob and his family come down. And the period of prosperity begins for them. That's all the time we have today. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, help us understand how your Spirit sometimes moves in the most unusual circumstances to bring circumstances to a point where the power of your Spirit and the power of a faithful person can be revealed as revealing you. We pray that you would give us open eyes to see the opportunities you give us. For we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.